Hello and welcome to the Pocket Game iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 169. I am your host, Will Wilson, and with me this week is John Jordan
Hello.
and Keith Andrew.
Oh, you did a very long opening sentence there. You didn't take any space for breath.
I don't need to take any space for breath because I'm not a smoker and I don't smoke all the time. I do. I'm going to move my headset mic back a bit because the weird thing about this new headset is I can hear myself if I'm a bit too close. It's quite good in a way. It's like an early warning system.
You love listening to yourself. I'm sure you listen back to these podcasts every week.
Well, I have to because I have to mix them.
Oh, well, there you go. That's just an excuse.
And then I listen to them again to make sure they've recorded properly.
Is it recording? Is it recording, Will? Normally, we've got
Yeah.
problems, haven't we? Yeah, okay. Just checking.
I haven't missed a recording for ages now.
I don't know, I've not been around for a while, have I? So, you know.
Good point. Right, this week, let's go to the news first of all.
Not yours.
News.
Hello. This week on the news. Let's start with the statistic from one of the statistical people. Who is it? Who had this statistic?
Nielsen.
Nielsen, yeah, was it? Oh no, CNBC's All America Economics Survey.
That sounds like a made up one.
Yeah. But their made up statistic is that 51% of all the US households own at least one Apple branded gadget.
I thought that was it's a Nielsen one. It's Nielsen. Who are you making it out from?
Well,
Look at the story now.
I'm reading our article.
Well, I'm reading our article. It's
Well, maybe
Nielsen.
Nielsen did it, but it was part of CNBC's thing.
As you know, pocketgamer.biz, we source our
We
articles.
source things, yeah.
No,
We sourced our article.
it's definitely Nielsen.
Oh, right, fine, it's Nielsen.
Thank you. It's all I need to
Fine.
know.
Nielsen and CNBC's All America Economic Survey. So 51%, so that's over half. I know my percentage.
it?
Yeah.
You should work on biz. That's the kind of knowledge we need.
Actually,
Yes.
Will, I'm going to take it all back. I was looking at the wrong survey. I was looking at a survey that said half all US mobile subscribers own a smartphone, so that's not quite the same thing, is
Oh dear.
If Will had made that mistake, he'd edited that out cannily, but you'll leave
Yeah,
yours in.
because it was your mistake. I'm gonna leave
Oh, I feel really bad now.
that. So it's in 55 million American homes. Do you think this sort of statistic? On average, each US home is around 1.6 Apple devices. Obviously, it's not literally 1.6 because that would mean you'd have.
Smashed one up and gave a fourth of it away. A fourth, no. Four fourths, whatever. No.
Wow, you've gone quite scary. I think there's a connection thing going on.
Oh, don't make me reset my box. It'll be half an hour.
No, it seems fine.
It's all right now.
So each US home is around 1.6 Apple devices. So, and the basically the trend is once you get one, you get more than one.
Well, yeah, it's always the Apple way, isn't it? I wonder how they've actually worked this out.
I want to know
Maybe
the
funny.
sample size.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem with something like this is that, I mean, like you say, it depends who they worked out because if you get people who upgrade their phone every year, then how are they including that? Because assuming that they won't keep the old one. So, what do they do with that? Throw it away or sell it on or.
Yeah.
I'd have thought most people would want to sell to put it against the price of a new model. That's what everyone I know who's gone.
Seems a little inflated though, because you think then how many Androids must there be in each house, kind of thing. You could get to say, if that's the base of iPhone, and if you look at all the American based kind of surveys, would all suggest that Android is way ahead.
Okay. Do you want to know how accurate this thing is?
Yeah.
Guess how many? So we're talking about the whole of America, like over 300 million people. So how many people would you need want to survey, do you think, to come to this?
I'd say they probably went with the round number, which all surveys always do, despite the amount of size of the subject matter, and went 500.
A poll of 836
Oh, well,
Americans.
stuffed.
As a marker of, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's, that is absolutely.
That's like those makeup ones where it says at the bottom, those adverts, 475 of 103 women agreed. You think, well, who were those 103 women?
Because, of course, okay, the other thing is it says a poll of 836 Americans was conducted by landline and cell phone. So, obviously, that suggests that they have to have a cell phone or a landline, which some, presumably some proportion of American households won't have. So they won't have apples anyway. So you're immediately underestimating this massive proportion of what will be poor people who don't own apples. Okay, should we move on to some new proper news then?
All right, yeah, let's go on to that's a bit of our filler.
I go back to the point I can't remember is Keith said. I mean, I think it's completely the case. As soon as a family buys one Apple product, then obviously you tend to go through the multiple cycles, which I guess is what they're hoping for with the when the TV thing comes out, you know, kind of vertical silo of locking people into iTunes. So it's absolutely their focus now, isn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah. A good bit of news for everyone who likes games. Fantasy Star 2, that's Fantasy with a PH and not the proper spelling. Fantasy Star 2, which was on Dreamcast originally.
Dreamcast. Keith liked it.
Dreamcast.
I liked walking around. I wasn't actually very good at playing, but I liked walking around the lobby and thinking these people are in different parts of the world right now.
Well, you only had a 33 and a 0.6K modem, didn't you? Slow motion.
But the free-to-play sequel to the Dreamcast game is coming out on iOS this winter.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. Unusual. And it's also coming to Android and the Vita, but it's not coming to 3DS.
The Vita.
So yes, I mean, this is going to be a big game when it comes out.
You think it will be?
Yeah, not so much in the West, but I'd imagine this would be a massive game in like the massive free to play areas.
I was going to say it's one there where it did come out quite a long time ago and wasn't particularly. I mean, it was kind of successful in its way, but it wasn't. It was like a cult thing, wasn't it? Really, it did.
Over in Japan and Korea, it's bigger. But,
well, I guess because there was the original, wasn't there? Was it like a SNES game or something? Or no, because it would have been a Mega Drive game, wouldn't it?
It was Master System, I think, wasn't it?
Original version was just in Japan, wasn't it? And that was pretty big.
I'm not into RPGs anyway, but I do remember when it came out for Dreamcast, I wasn't aware of the franchise at all, but the fact it had online on the word and in the title in that era made
it's incredibly grind heavy.
Yeah,
seems true.
I don't remember ever really getting through in either of the two, getting through a mission online because
it's very pretty. I remember it being very pretty. Yeah, I can't remember playing it very much either.
A lot of people would have died in real life before they got to the end of a mission, so you left hanging.
What? It's keeping on the sort of.
Oh.
You got a call.
Keith, we're talking. You need to phone me on the other one.
See his mother again. That's what it is.
Keeping on the JRPGs.
Might have been, actually. Bother, you shouldn't have said that. I'm expecting a call from her.
Keeping on the JRPG theme.
I am. I'm expecting a call from her. What's so funny about that? Keith laughing away in the background.
Trying to hold his professionalism.
Keeping on the Japanese role-playing theme.
It's like a school teacher.
Right, quiet down. There is a new mobile RPG.
Go on.
Are you finished? All right. There's a new mobile RPG coming out for iOS very soon, in fact, in the spring from Square Enix.
Is it called Guardian Cross?
Guardian Cross, yeah.
I don't know why I think that, but I just...
Has there not been a game called... How can they have not had a game called Guardian Cross before? It just like sounds so much like an RPG.
On the teaser site, it's got a few names up. So, you know, I did a bit of research and it's got the man who's the game designer for Final Fantasy 5, 6, 9, 12 and Tactics is heading up the project.
Favorite ones as well.
Sounds good then. Yeah, they're the good ones. Right.
Yeah, they are the good ones. And also the Final Fantasy, one of the Final Fantasy's composers is going to be, no, art designer is going to be doing the character design. And Final Fantasy 11 and Street Fighter Alpha composer, who used to work at Capcom, now at Square Enix. Obviously, that's why there's two different companies, games there. Will be the music, like the composer.
What?
So,
He'll
be the music.
The music. Oh, can I name drop?
Go on.
Yeah. I met the man who wrote the Angry Birds music this week.
That's good music.
It was good. He was a lovely man. Yeah.
Can I name drop?
You can let go on him.
I stood behind Ken Livingston in a queue for Costa yesterday.
So. Yeah, but no one knows who Ken Livingston is outside.
Of course they do.
Our American friends don't.
Everyone knows Red Ken. Google him.
Okay, yeah. I don't think
he had two children with him. I was very startled.
He's got kids.
Oh, has he? Can I save Guardian Cross? I hope it has one of those really incomprehensible trailers where people say random sentences that make no sense with kind of Japanese string music in the background. That's what I like to see in RPGs.
I do like those sort of trailers.
Yeah, I've got some awesome ones saved on my Xbox of ones that are incomprehensible, which I turn to when I fancy a laugh.
So it's a free-to-play game. This is interesting in itself, actually, to be fair. Square Enix. Premium related original content is what they've been making the name
for. You have to
remember, basically, the last like 18 months, the big trend that's happened in Japanese mobile gaming has been the rise of Gree and DNA, which are all free to play. Pretty much all that stuff is free to play.
Yeah, true, but I'm talking Square Enix specifically here. I mean, their games on iOS, not necessarily on Brew, because they have done other. Games which aren't using that business model, but the game on iOS have been almost always the very top end of the premium pricing scale. So to get a free-to-play game, that we're presuming it's coming to the West, because part of that teaser website says coming out in spring in English for one, and it says all the names and everything in English. It's on their Japanese site, so it's definitely coming out over there. But
I mean, I think the whole all these Japanese companies now they've always kind of treat. I don't know. I think my view is they've always kind of seen the Asian market as that kind of had that free to play thing, because that's been there on PC for a lot longer. And in the West, they've always kind of thought, oh, they'll pay like whatever Square Enix charge $15 for a game. And I kind of think just that is now completely gone. All those Japanese companies now are much more coherent, and they're doing the same model globally now.
I think it's exciting news though. I mean, Square's. It's always nice to see an old Square Enix game like Final Fantasy 2 or, Final Fantasy the Original come over to iOS, but I like their new ones, original Square content by the guy who designed Tactics as well. Not designed Tactics, that was Tacticus, the Roman general. But Final Fantasy Tactics.
Although,
why are you laughing, Keith? That's true.
I'm not sure that point needed explaining that you didn't mean tactics.
Well, the important bit I've just completely glossed over, though, is it's not an RPG. It's a card game.
Card battling RPG.
Yeah, we don't care about that. That's awful. We don't want to play card.
Card battling RPG.
Card battling RPGs are awful.
No, they're not.
They're for freaks. Yeah.
No, they're not. You obviously haven't played with my Red Mana deck.
I rest my case. Card games are massive in Japan. Card games on mobile are absolutely enormous in Japan at the moment. I mean, that's what everyone's doing. Hmm. But in the West, it's just, I mean, that
Assassin's Creed Recollection was very good.
Oh yeah, and they did so well. They're making loads of. I mean, it's a completely Japanese thing. You're never going to make any money in the West on those games. Absolutely not.
Well, there was an indie game recently.
I'm not saying there aren't lots of card-based games.
Ascension God Slayer, and they're making a follow-up to that, so I don't know.
But Will, that company is set up to make mobile games based on board games and card games, so that's what they do. I mean, it's the...
All right. I think you'll find there's actually quite a lot of great cardboard games.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you won't enjoy them.
I'll buy them.
But I'm just saying, me and Keith, when he's...
He's just calling
you just play a card game. When you just play an RPG.
I can't stand RPGs full stops. Exactly. So I'm never going to play a card game RPG.
There we go.
But I do like the trailers. So
you can buy the trailer.
Well, anyway. That's exciting news, and personally am going to play it. Even if it means making a Japanese app store. Actually, I wouldn't do that if that was what it required. It's too much hassle, to be honest. Let's move on. Let's go straight. Let's jump around the order I've got written down here and go straight on to Angry Birds.
Again. Order. Can I name drop?
Well, yeah.
He was really nice. He said he got really annoyed though because he had to do eight remixes of the Angry Birds theme tune. So in the end, he said he wasn't going to do it anymore. No, he was very happy.
Did he like all the YouTube videos dedicated to the Angry Birds theme tune?
No, he was talking about new stuff. Really, he wasn't. He doesn't work for Romeo. He's like a freelance guy. He actually did a lot of stuff for. He used to be in house at Frozen Bit. Is it Frozen Bit? Frozen Byte. That indie developer. You know him. Yeah. He did Treen.
Oh yes, yeah.
So he was a. Anyway.
Well, Angry Birds. Wow, that's a loud keyboard, and that's definitely.
It's typing.
Sorry.
It sounded like you were. Do you have a mechanical keyboard or something?
Kind of.
Anyway. Angry Birds Space has been downloaded 10 million times in less than 3 days. Now, I think, first of all, A, that's a big number, but B, that does include free downloads as well.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's making that comparison to the App Store's first... it hit 10 million in its first weekend or something, didn't it, downloads? So they're saying, making that comparison between Angry Birds Space now and the birth of the App Store, which I'm not really sure why, except for it correlates.
Numbers are the same.
It doesn't actually mean anything when you think about it.
I mean, when I met the Angry Birds guy, I was actually in Finland, as it would make sense. And there was a guy from Romeo.
You're place dropping now.
So he's always going to start every story now. Yeah. I met the Angry Birds guy.
But there was a guy, one of the marketing guys from Angry Birds, who actually gave like a little talk about stuff. His kind of happy kind of starting kind of slide was when Angry Birds Space went live, the App Store actually crashed. So the demand was such that you couldn't actually download anything because everyone was probably trying to download Angry Birds Space, which is actually, you think about it, quite an impressive feat.
Yeah, I'm glad it's doing well.
Yeah,
we spent a large portion of last week.
Did you?
Talking about it, and I was rather in love with it, kind of thing. Yeah. So. Yeah.
No,
Keith ended up his piece about it, just saying like, "Please call me back. Please call me back." so it's doing very well. There's another connected story to this, though. Rovio has just gone and bought FutureMark.
Yep.
Games, not FutureMark itself, but the games division of FutureMark.
Which is kind of a weird thing, because they're not like, they haven't really done very much, have they?
Not really.
Done two games. They did, what is it, Shattered Horizons? And they also did the recent one, which is Unstoppable Gorg, the tower defense. Very, very pretty game.
But they weren't particularly amazing, were they? As far as I remember looking at one of them.
Gorg was all right.
Was it okay?
Yeah, Shattered. I'm sure it's Shattered Horizons, but that sounds too generic to be a real title. But that was meant to be all right as well. I didn't play that one. But I mean, they're very graphically rich, their titles.
Mm. Well, I guess for a benchmark company, that's kind of what they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean they're another Finnish company.
Yeah, I was saying, they love buying Finnish companies.
Yeah, and from what the quotes say, they pretty much knew each other anyway because of the
industry. I know Rovio have been looking to. I know a couple of companies that they were talking about buying and haven't bought so far. So I think they're just looking to do that. And they've also announced today they're going to set up a studio in Stockholm in Sweden.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So that's a completely new studio. That's not a thing. Yeah. 20 man, wasn't it?
20 to 30, yeah.
20 to 30, yeah. So they're expanding out.
Definitely.
Which is kind of inevitable, really.
Well, they have done very well for themselves.
They have done very... I was just telling that to my friend Roof the other day. So there we go. Rovio doing very well. Let's go on to a story that isn't even up on the site yet.
Oh my god, this is so future news.
Mm-hmm. It's futuristic.
It says on Friday.
Yes, yeah, it'll be out on Friday, so the news story will be up by then. By the time you've heard this, it won't be in the future.
Is it an embargo then, or something?
No, I talked to them today. I just haven't been able to write it up yet. Okay. So I talked to Crytek today. That is Thursday. And I asked them, because obviously lots of people want to know if they're going to bring CryEngine to mobiles. So I asked them about, because Fibble, which I'll talk about a little bit later in what we've been playing, looks really good. So I asked them, is there any elements of CryEngine, or were your experiences of making CryEngine, did you then use those to engineer the graphics on this new in-house engine that you've got running for Fibble, and they basically said, well, it's kind of a taste. It's a taste of the CryEngine on mobile. So effectively, it's the, you know, it's the first step. They haven't given it a name, but it's their in-house mobile graphics engine, which is essentially going to be CryEngine Mobile, but it hasn't got a proper name yet. So there you go. That's the hot news.
They might call it Mini Cry or Small Cry. Or...
it could call it anything really. It's just a 3D graphics engine, which is kind of relatively based on CryEngine. But the problem is with these things, of course, is that in a technical sense, it's much more complicated than just like this is how it makes graphics better when it comes to game engines. But when you're trying to convey stuff to a normal everyday consumer or gamer, you've got to have the title. So unfortunately, it's kind of a bit of a muddled story in a way. I'll have to go back through the tapes to get the exact quotes. But yes, essentially, you're seeing the start of CryEngine on mobiles with Fibble, which I will talk about later. Let's not talk about the name though. I mean Fibble. Finally this week. Well, actually, no. Finally, you know what? Let's ignore that last story and let's ask John. How did it go in Finland? What did he get up to?
What did we get up to? Well, it was what we do at Pocket Gamer is we have lots of events. So often we have events at conferences like GDC or E3 or WWDC, which are more like kind of like, unless effectively they are kind of networking parties. But we also have kind of like one day, they're not really conferences, but they're kind of like one day or even like kind of shorter period like events. So they're kind of like maybe like a panel talk or a kind of few companies giving talks and like a panel talk. So we did one in Tampere in Finland, which is about 2 hours north of Helsinki. And not too cold, but there's lots of snow on the ground still, so not particularly warm either. So
it was lovely and warm this week.
It was lovely warm in the UK, wasn't it? So, so they have an incubator program called Mansi Games, which is an EU-funded kind of space where companies that are starting up can kind of get free office space and kind of help from kind of experienced people in the industry and kind of like start to build their companies. So, so we went up with some other companies in the industry, so Papaya and Flurry and local companies like Rovio. They kind of gave various speeches about things, and then we had like a bit of a debate about core gaming versus casual gaming. And we had about 150 Finnish developers there, and then we went down the pub. Jolly nice time.
Yeah, cool.
It's good.
We were just sort of sitting outside in the sun. No, we weren't. We were all trapped inside, typing on our computers.
Exactly.
Our only tan was coming from the neon glow of the screen.
I don't like the outside. It's too warm at the moment.
Yeah, it's too bright.
Any baking in London? They don't have any air down there, it would appear.
Oh yeah, you're in Manchester, so it must have been a very very hot 12 or 11 degrees down there.
No, there is a difference. You know, there is a wind up here, and in London yesterday there was no wind. It was just baking heat. So.
Yeah, well, Cambridge was very nice yesterday.
Were you on the cam? Were you just kind of punting away down?
Well, you know me, just casually punting.
So I was having a nice beer in a beer garden. So
with my jumper, you know, wrapped around my neck, and my teddy bear beside me.
And nothing else.
Nothing else. Standing proudly on the bow. I don't think punts have a bow, actually.
No.
Anyway, however, unlike the Oxford ones, here's an interesting thing. You have to stand on the edge of the craft, not inside the craft. In Oxford, you stand inside the craft. Bit of fact for you there. If you ever want to go punting in Cambridge, don't stand inside the craft. Otherwise, everyone kills you. Right, next section. Let's go on to the midweek releases. This week on the new releases, we're finding out who's the world's strongest cube man, and can you ride a bike?
Cube man.
Cube Man.
Cube Man. I thought it said tube.
Both would work. So yes, this time we start with a game which I had a look at earlier, and it looks rubbish. But it's The World's Strongest Man by Digital Goldfish. And it's available on iPhone only, I think. Basically, it's a tie-in for everyone's favourite competition, which no one watches, called The World's Strongest Man. It's that one where they pull a car.
Dirty old women watch it.
Really?
I know a lot of mothers who watch it.
Really?
On my own. Yeah, no, they do watch it. Don't Channel 5 show it? I'm sure it's still
on. It's like a Channel 5 thing. So, yes. If you like watching rather large men pull logs up above their heads and carry a truck, you might like this.
That's the interesting about this trailer, just watching it. It's got photos of real people, contenders, who all look quite fat, and then the actual animated one in the game, it looks quite muscly.
Yeah. There we go. That's the one I remember. Truck pull. I have seen this program once before. Yeah. They just pull a truck. Basically, it's a lot of swiping timed gestures. It's one of those normal sports games, to be fair. Right. Okay. Next one. Cube Men. Cube Men is iPad only. It's by 3 Sprockets. Does it look any good? I remember seeing this earlier. Yes.
Not for the original iPad as well.
Well, have you seen the graphics? They're quite nice. Multiplayer skirmishes, 3D levels with different heights. Basically,
that's all right. I wouldn't have said they were beyond.
Look at the smoothness.
Yeah. It is. I think it is quite interesting how the original iPad now is pretty much kind of gone. I think a lot of people are just not supporting it anymore.
You could run that. That's not that special. That's just laziness.
Well, what specs are the original iPad using? Like in terms of like which iPhone do they correlate with?
3GS, no, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that'll be
it's in between that. But it was quite. I think it was quite a big improvement on 3GS. I mean, obviously it's the bigger screen.
It's running, it's running higher resolution. Yeah.
I think it may be something more complicated in terms of. Maybe what OpenGLES is being supported, maybe something weird like that.
That would surely be because of the OS, though.
Might be, yeah, that's true. I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, tower defense game. It's minimalist, it's sparse, but it looks quite cool. 28 levels, 22 skirmish levels.
You hate tower defense.
I hate tower defense. Shush. I'm saying it looks cool. I'm not saying it looks fun. Well, I don't like tower defense. So, but it's £2.49. It looks kind of cool in the way that.
Even if I had an iPad 2 or iPad 3 right now, I'd refuse to buy it purely for its discrimination. So.
What do you mean discrimination?
That's my poor dented original iPad. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. So yes, if you don't have an iPad 2 or an iPad, the new iPad, then you can't get it. So, I'm sorry. Next up, it's not a very good week, is it? I've just looked at the next up. I think it gets better as we go down. Next up is one from Jalingo. You know what I did when I said that? I actually turned to you two on the Skype window to the right. A little bit weird. Street Bike, Full Blast HD. It's a super bike game. You don't often see them.
We always say this. There's not a lot of them. There's loads of them, aren't there?
Don't often see them.
It's quite close to their bum when they lean back and set the camera.
Yeah, pulls
in. In a way, it looks really good, and then in a way, it really doesn't. It looks quite basic.
Incredibly. I mean, like, the speed is very fast, but the texture detail looks like quite.
You've hit the nail on the head there. That's what I'm
Whenever I see a bike game, or even like a water racer game like that Riptide one, I just kind of think of like PC ports. I just for some reason just assume I assume they oh that's a PC game they ported over. I don't know why.
Well, if this was a PC game, it'd be one from 1994.
And definitely, yeah. I don't know. I just kind of think
that should be on the box.
It's really hard to make them look nice. So I just, they look like the graphics look kind of like I don't know.
I don't think it's
seem
well,
quite kind of everything seems very lightweight. Nothing feels very solid.
I think the problem is it is really hard to make them look nice, as in like expensive to make them look nice. You need to. It's just Firemint's Real Racing 2 looks amazing.
Yeah.
But that's a racing game. But obviously they've got a lot of budget behind it.
Is this just for iPad, this?
No, I think... Is there an iPhone? Yeah, it is just for iPad, because it's the HD version.
No, I see. I played with an iPad 3 this... Not iPad 3. All new iPad this week. They're, yeah, they're not... It wasn't really wow. It was... I don't know. Okay. I wouldn't... If I had an iPad 2, I wouldn't be... that jealous, I have to say. It didn't really look that different.
You finished?
Mm-hmm. I'm finished, yeah. I just thought I'd drop that in.
All right, let's get back to the midweek releases, yeah?
Don't buy an iPad, that's what I'm saying.
I can't argue either way because I haven't seen it yet.
When I was trying to explain it, when I had a first gen iPod Touch and then I made the leap to iPod Touch fourth gen, that was like wow, and I couldn't even look at my original iPod screen anymore because it just looked like teletext. It looked like ridiculous. This one, the difference is very slight, and the thing that showed it off the best actually wasn't the games, that albeit Angry Bird Space looks nice, and actually the games that haven't been changed don't look that nice, as Apple's saying it automatically makes them look nice. It doesn't really. But the thing that made it look nicest was Street View. Google Street View looks amazing, and you feel like you're there kind of quality. But when you're looking at it, the only thing you kind of notice is that the fonts look crisper. But apart from that, you could put them, well, we did put them side by side, and you kind of think, you wouldn't, if you didn't know, you wouldn't necessarily spot, you know, that they were different. It's quite weird because the American press has been so bowled over by it, and when you actually fiddle with it, it isn't the leap I thought it was going to be with all that fuss. I get depressed about everything. So.
We are on midweek releases as well.
But, you know, this is the kind of thing people want to hear. They're thinking, do I want to spend that money on an iPad? If I was anyone thinking about buying an iPad 3, I would say no. If you've already got an iPad 2, keep it. And if you haven't got an iPad, buy an iPad 2.
You know what I'm interested in from the iPad 3, to go completely off topic, is seeing how good the voice dictation stuff works.
But I was told actually yesterday by someone who had used it that it is very amusing and never gets anything right, but amusingly so.
Well, I want to know how well it learns, how quick it learns, because no voice dictation software works when you first start it, because it needs to know all your intonations. And then even worse than that, it needs to know all your intonations at certain sort of, you know, if you've got a cold, then you can mess up a whole dictation thing that you've spent like a week training.
Well, and your usual voice when you're not doing a podcast is like a woman, isn't it? So.
Basically, yeah, it's about three octaves higher.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to put a tool on to keep my voice this low during a podcast. Ladies. So let's move on. Let's go to Violet Storm. This is the first of the Universal apps this week, and I have just started the video. And it is essentially Geometry Wars, but slightly reimagined. It's from Sad Cat Software. And as Ant has quoted here, it offers pure, intense, unabashedly over-the-top, non-stop action rendered in neon. If you know Geometry Wars, then I expect you know what this looks like. You don't even have to see the video. Just picture it in your mind. Neon, basic geometry, lots of shooting. It's a twin stick shooter. 25 different enemy ships. John is typing away furiously.
Yeah. Very exciting.
And yeah, it's there we go. It's out. Next one out this week is Rinf Island. Now this, I've marked this out as one of Chillingo's more interesting looking releases from the recent few weeks.
You make it sound like they released a lot of games or something.
Well, yeah. But yeah, so it's a 3D puzzle game with platforming elements where the whole of the levels are all circular. John's furiously typing this up. And basically, it's puzzle meets platforming, but it's also got a customizable level editor. I mean, a level editor where you can customize it. And yeah, it looks good. What do you think, Keith?
I was just thinking this reminded me of Sky Sanctuary in Sonic and Knuckles.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that, but you kind of run around in a circle as you're trying to, as it all falls down below you.
I got up to the second level.
What, of Sonic and Knuckles?
Yeah.
Is that, well, you're missing out, Will.
Oh, I don't like
it. It looks
don't
like that, Sonic. Only faster, and the floors all falling away.
It's well, if you know Sonic and Knuckles, then looks like that. But anyway, we're in Fireland. Probably better than Sonic.
I don't think so.
As if it wasn't.
Not many things
it'd be pretty awful. 69.
Yeah, well.
yeah, what else we got? Gnu's Revenge, or Gnu Revenge from Bulky Bix. I'm sure this was out the other week. 72 levels, 4 worlds, and you fire gnus.
Oh, it's them trailers that has all some guff before it.
Yeah, just skip.
In fact, it's all guff. There's not really anything there.
Well, it's out now. Ion Racer is the final one this week. It looks a little bit like Wipeout, but it isn't. It's more of a sort of puzzle. Ooh, hello.
Hasn't this been out before?
I'm not sure.
There's Ion something.
Oh, maybe. But this one's new.
Oh, no. Okay. No, it's a different one. Is it Ion something? Yeah.
This one's more like an Endless Racer. Mm.
Looks all right.
Looks okay.
Yeah.
Hyper real HD graphics. You've got to avoid the red gates, hit the blue gates, pick up stuff.
I was actually playing the trailer there, thinking, move to the left! It's a bit like Hole in the Wall, but on Mass, isn't it?
You get perks and upgrades and all that jazz. Looks all right.
I quite like the look of that. Yeah.
You're free to play, wasn't it? It was on SGN.
69p.
Really? How bizarre is that? Hmm.
Oh, it's got the new Google Play logo.
I see what you mean when you said, oh, it's got to be free to play, because I've looked at their other apps.
Well, the whole point of that whole thing is all free to play, and that's what they're doing. So.
Apparently, though, this is what I guess every developer's nightmare now is. I see the first review on the App Store, and the British one is like 3 stars. Yeah, it's reasonable enough, but the graphics are not retina ready on the new iPad. 3 stars, mofo.
Evil new iPad owners.
Yeah, this is it. Oh dear, I get developers sitting there going, "Oh, you." Oh. Anyway, so that's it. That's the new. It's not a dance.
Oh, there's that other one. Can I quickly? There's the what's it? Is it the Dark Meadows come out for free? Isn't it?
Well, game. I think that was very good.
Maybe not. Okay. No. But now people, if it's free, people can find that, can't they?
Yeah, it's true. Actually, yes. So Dark Meadows out for free. So if you agree with Mr. Schilling's review, then you would not like it. But if you don't agree with it, you can email me. I won't reply. I'll ignore you. No. But yes, it's out for free. So I think we gave it a 5 in total.
Out of five.
But I believe it's had some updates since then. Obviously, it's getting an update for the free-to-play. Free. So we'll see how it goes. Let's go on to the what we've been playing fields.
What we've been playing!
Welcome to the what we've been playing fields. I'm your host, Rudolf Blenkoff.
Oh, I see.
And with me on Ziv Playing Fields. I'll start. I'm not even giving you a choice. I've been playing Hunters 2.
Oh, the one with the awesome trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Had an awesome trailer.
Mm. It's good. Sequel to Hunters, obviously, because it's got the 2 at the end of the name. It's a turn, but yeah, it's just a coincidence. Actually, it could have been just a coincidence.
Oh.
The App Store. Oh. No, but it's a turn-based strategy game where you take control of a small squad, normally about 4 to 6 people. And you set them off to complete missions. Normally, protect this man, kill all the monsters
turn-based.
Get here. Yeah, it's turn-based.
Yeah.
And it plays out a lot like if you, the listener, know of Space Hulk, at least, especially the first couple of levels, anyway. If you've played Space Hulk, which is a Games Workshop board game, and it's been adapted to computers about five times now, then you should know what to expect. It's like you get action points, and you can use some of them to fire. You can put them in Overwatch, which is where when the other player's taking their turn, if their creatures move into your line of sight, it opens fire. And it's basically a trade-off between knowing when to move, when to stay, when to defend, when to hold a position and stuff like this. It's actually really good. And you can tell that the people that are making it know this genre like the back of their hand and are big fans of it. It's simple. They haven't overcomplex. It's simple in to a degree. The gameplay is simple. When you're actually in a game, it's very easy to control. It's optimized touch. There's no complicated, other than line of sight and fog of war, which are two pretty basic elements of this genre. There aren't any sort of elevation rules, and there's no crouching. There's no snap shot, aim shot, sort of laser squad thing. I'm getting very anal. I know this genre quite well. But it's nice and simple. It's very quick. It's very easy to play. One thing I will say, it's got a proper campaign, which, I mean, the story's not very good. But the fact it has a proper campaign this time is a massive plus. But also on the side, it's got bonus missions, which refresh. It's four of them, I think. But refresh every 24 hours. And they can get you extra credits and stuff like this. And they're quite fun. They're randomly generated. But the menus are very confusing. The equipment menu, especially. Because there's a really clever trade system. I think the original had this as well, where every half an hour the shop refreshes all the items that it can sell you. And these are proper RPG style, so you get green graded weapons for the slightly rarer, and, you know, white for normal, purple weapons for the... And you get individual named weapons as well if they're really rare. So I got Scorchio Flamethrower at one point. And they're all quite expensive, and you earn them. But it's very confusing to actually navigate this menu. It's not very well laid out. There's just lots of stuff in front of you. And you have to flick between at least three menus to properly equip, optimize, buy, equip, and optimize your men. Because it hasn't got all the information you need at one time. It's one of those games which cries out for a right mouse button, if you get what I mean, which is a bad design for touchscreen menus. Other than that, though, I really like the game. The game's really good. I had a lot of fun with it. I know I'm enjoying it because I'm not. But like, I would just before I go to bed, I'd grab my iPad while I'm sitting there naked and have a quick go, if you know what I mean.
I wondered what you were going to say when you. I know I'm liking it because
Keith just leads me down these paths.
I remember playing the first one. It was I'm not such a fan of the genre. It was really nicely done. I found it a little bit kind of like ponderous.
The first one was slower than this one, and it was all disconnected missions. So it would be sort of like you have five offers for now, and it was all very grey, and it didn't really have any sort of individuality. This new one's good. I'd say it's I did enjoy it a lot. It's $2.99. It's definitely worth the cash.
I mean, they definitely built up a pretty solid kind of audience for that game, didn't they?
There's a hell of a lot of us out there.
Yeah. I'm saying particularly for that game. They're like a small team, and they've worked really hard, and that's been their complete focus. They've not messed around doing anything else. They just worked away.
Presentation really, is top notch from this.
Exactly. Well, they come from the console world, don't they? I can't remember who they used to work for. I think it's like Criterion or EA or someone like that.
It's Radio Games. Yes. The name of the developer, yeah. But yeah, they did. Yeah, no, that does shine through. It's one of the things actually. I'm going to talk about. It's very handy you mentioned that, because I'm going to talk about Fibble next, which is Crytek's first mobile game. Crytek, as you'll almost certainly know, is the developer behind games such as Crysis, Far Cry, and Crysis 2, Crysis Warhead. Basically, they're well renowned for making graphically intensive games, the PC and now recently the consoles.
Crying a lot.
No, they don't cry.
No.
They're manly men making manly games.
It's a misnomer, isn't it?
Yeah. But they're well known for their Cry engine, as we mentioned earlier. And Fibble is... Can you guess what Fibble is, though? Because, I mean, they only made first-person shooters up to now. So do you want to guess what kind of a game Fibble is?
I've just checked it out.
No.
Isn't it called Fibble Rock and Roll or something?
No, it's Fibble Flick and Roll. I got my name wrong.
It's even more weird, isn't it? It's even more.
Yeah. But yes, well, Fibble is a one of those games where you pull back the main character and then let go, and then he bounces across a maze to go to an exit portal, which Keith will recognise the sound of that from Fable Coin Golf.
What's when you said, yeah. Is it as good as that one?
It's actually quite good, yeah. I quite enjoyed it. I've played half the game so far, and it's quite fun. There's not that many levels, I don't think, because I've completed two worlds, and I think there's eight levels in each. It's actually one thing that really stands out, though, is it's obviously a triple A. Sorry, I'm going to do that in inverted commas.
Triple A
console developer behind it, because they've basically put story elements in. There's masses of apparently in-game cutscenes, which is very impressive. And like between levels, you'll get little extra bits of story about how Fibble. It's a very clever cutscene that opens it, though, and Keith, you'll like it. You will.
Why?
It's just sort of like you see the International Space Station, and there's like a can of beer gets chucked out, and it's sort of floating in space, and then you see the alien in his spaceship sleeping, and then he's flying past the International Space Station, he hits the can of beer, and then you realize, oh, he's tiny. That's quite clever. It's just, and then basically there's a Micro Machines feel to it as well, because he's so tiny. Yeah, the levels take place in like a kitchen living room and stuff like this.
Does it feel slightly over-designed? That's the impression I'm getting.
It's very graphically nice. Apparently it runs on the 3DS. They say in the interview, yeah, they took a lot of time making sure it ran on 3DS. And so then
run on the iPad. That's good. Run on the original iPad.
It should run on the original iPad.
You can download this. It's good.
I'm going to make a stand.
But don't worry, that reviewer who gave Ion Racer 3 stars, it's also Retina Enhanced for the new iPad. It's a good game. There's not too many original elements about it. It's quite easy. But it's very well presented. It's easy to play. It's got that sort of, like, only takes a couple of, about 20 seconds to play a level kind of thing. It's pick-up a playable. I don't think it's going to be the next Cut the Rope or Angry Birds or anything like that, but it's certainly a solid first attempt by...
Weird, they're giving it such an odd name.
Yeah, no, I don't know why they did that.
I think it's quite a catchy name.
What, Fibble?
Really?
Sounds cute.
Exactly, but it's not. It's like Crytek, right?
Yeah, but if you're not doing a game that's like that, then don't call it that. You know, if they did call it Death...
I'd have to say, so my entire problem with these kind of companies, it's not that... Obviously, they know mobile's really good, and they poo-pooed it for ages because, oh, it's mobile stuff. And then they kind of get into it. The games are... They're just kind of wrong. They're not that they're bad or anything, but they just...
They do something... They go the other way.
They're kind of not in keeping with...
Yeah. There were a couple of former console developers I could mention here that I'm not going to that have done that. They've come from things that we know to be one thing, and then they've been almost determined to do something completely different the other way, and as a result have made something that was quite basic.
The one that I last played was a while ago now was the... I can't remember what it was called. It was the one from Ubisoft. I can't remember what it's called. I'll look it up. And I spoke to the guy who made it, and it was kind of really interesting. He'd been like a senior art director on you know, all these big kind of title, you know, these big kind of Assassin's Creed type stuff in Montreal. And they gave him, like, you know, said, go away, make a, you know, a fun kind of iPhone game. And he loved doing it, but he just kind of thought this is kind of what people were making like 2 years ago. And then they kind of understand. It's kind of nice, but there's not really any progression. It's kind of like a little bit, it's kind of odd. And I kind of think the problem with the console guys is the first thing they do is they have no experience of making mobile games, and they have a stab at it, and it's just they're completely off what they would do. But by the time they've hit their third game, they kind of really know kind of what they're up to, because they just know what the audience is and how to almost like deliver. It's almost like the console guys deliver too much out front. They just go, we make, you know, $60 kind of retail games, and even though they're not doing that, they kind of, it's very hard for them to, because they have to fail.
It's not a bad game.
I'm just saying,
listening to the rant, it's not a bad game. I think it's just a bit easy. That's
almost the problem. I mean, these companies never do bad games, because those games Yeah, you know, they're not doing it to make money. They're just doing, yeah, you know, the game probably cost, I don't know, like over £1 million or something, you know, because it just, because they'll be so focused on this is our first game, we've got to make sure it's really nice. So that's like a calling card for the engine and everything. But
they haven't even named the engine yet. I mean, it's basically, it's going to be.
Yeah, so this game, the game I was thinking of was Monster Burner.
I never played that one.
It's a really nice game in a way, but you just kind of thought this has come out of, this is not a contemporary game that a developer who's been making iPhone games for 2 years would make.
Interesting thing though, Ubisoft was showing off Monster Burner at the same time as Assassin's Creed Recollections, which is a very good game.
Okay.
And it's a card game, John. Do you know them? I think you might like them. They're very popular nowadays.
Snap. Like Snap.
So, who wants to go next?
Can I talk about a card game? This is part of the reason why I did a card game rant. So I've, as ever, not been playing many games because I've been busy doing other things. But I did play a card game. Actually, I think it came out a couple of weeks ago. It's the first one from Gree. Made by their San Francisco studio. Zombie Zombie. Have you discussed this before while I've been away? Oh, you may have done.
No, I've written about it. I don't think we've talked about it.
Okay, so I mean, I guess you kind of know Gree, like this enormous Japanese company who make absolutely stacks of money. I mean, like their turnover is like $1.5 billion a year. But they basically do it. They do some games internally, but mainly they have like a platform that people like Konami and Capcom and Sega release their games on in Japan. And of course, the most popular thing, as we've discussed in Japan at the moment for mobile games, is card-based games, because the Japanese, that's what they like. That's kind of where Pokemon's come from. It's a very well-known kind of genre that everyone in Japan plays. So Gree bought Open Fate, and they've now set up a studio in San Francisco making games. What's their first game they've made? Zombie Zombie, a card-based game. And literally, I started playing it this afternoon. Okay, I'm getting on a bit. I am a bit kind of jittery and stupid. But basically, I started playing this game, and it just basically takes you... The tutorial is such that it basically has a big arrow and says, press this button. So literally, for about 3 minutes, you just go through. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm a zombie, obviously, and I'm doing something. And you just... Literally, a big green arrow just goes... Press this button, and you press the button, and it goes, you won something. Go and get your winnings. You go, oh, I won something. And then it goes, go and do a mission. You go, oh, okay, do a mission. And then you go, you won something. Oh. It's literally like...
How do you make that noise?
This sounds great.
And it's great. So you literally go through about 5 minutes worth of just like, oh, wow, I won something again. Oh, I did a battle. Oh, I won the battle. No idea. Absolutely no clue what I'm doing. And then it goes, do this thing. And you go, you press on it, and it takes you to the App Store. And goes, do you want to buy this for like 69p? And I was like, oh no, I don't actually. I don't know what to do that. And then I've tried to work out what I can do, and I've no idea what I've learned. I've literally gone through this tutorial, pressing buttons, and now I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. It's absolutely, either I'm very stupid, which definitely could be the case, or they've just basically taken some mechanic from the Japanese card playing game. You should play this and talk about it next week, Will.
All right, I'll put that down on my list.
I vaguely know I've got like some like energy points and some like hit points and some defense points, and then I've got like an attack deck and a defense deck.
You never played Magic the Gathering, John.
And I can fuse things together, and I can buy things, and I'm
Excuse me, have you never played Magic the Gathering, John?
I hear words coming out your mouth. I don't know what they mean. So the other one I've been playing, because I'm so... Oh, no. This is not a game, because I often write about a lot of good stuff. So here's an interesting kind of thing. I mean, I guess we've all seen in the past these kind of free app a day kind of promotional networks, I guess you call them. There's a new one, which is kind of interesting. I think it's only in the very early days yet. It's called App A Day, as in App O Day. And it's by the guy who actually, bizarrely, he founded the Talking Tomcat developer. Then he left. He's actually a bit of an entrepreneur, really. So he's setting up this new company, which is called Indiction. And it's all about. He thinks the big thing now is how you distribute apps. So that's his kind of big thing. So the first thing he's done is App A Day, which is free, just for iPhone and iPod Touch. And basically, every day, it's very simple. Every day, you just get a free you know, as we expect with a free app a day. But because so many apps are free now, if he's giving away a free app, actually when you download it, you actually get like free currency in the game. So you always get something. The thing you always get is would always cost you money, but you're getting it for free, which I think is quite a clever. It's not like a genius thing, but it's quite a clever little twist on the thing, because obviously with free app a day, when all games were freemium, then you just it just became like a marketing channel.
Was this Zombie Jombie is an iPhone app?
Is it? Yeah. No. Why would it not be an iPhone app?
Because
you're on an iPad.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on iPad.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure it'll work, won't it?
I got to put it in two times, and then it's not even half Retina.
Okay. And the final one I've been playing, and this is just shows how out of the loop I am, was I played Triple Town, and that was really lovely. I did enjoy Triple Town.
I still haven't played Triple Town.
Definitely recommend you people playing Triple Town. It's one of these games where I played it. I had to play the tutorial about five times. I literally had no idea. I was like, I could move. You put three grasses together, and you get like a bush, and I could kind of get the bushes, and then like these bears appeared, and then some of them turned to tombstones, and then some of them turned to churches, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. But in the end, I worked it out.
I did play the tutorial, and because I had to download it for something else, and yeah. I haven't gone back to it because it did kind of lose me.
It's one of those ones where I was on a flight, so I just like, I'll just play it until I get. Work out how
this isn't a card battling game.
Well, I don't know, it's cards.
But it's not a card battling game. Well, it's not a deck builder, really? At least it's just a standard sort of freemium thing.
You have decks, you buy decks and you fuse them together.
Claim
when you go into battles, you have it's like a zombie, and then you have like these cards. Cards.
They're just cards. They're not actual. So it's not a card game, though, is it? It's just
it's got cards in it.
I'm just hitting buttons, and it's saying congratulations, you've got a card.
That's what I said.
That doesn't make it a card game.
Yes, well, you have to get through to that bit, don't you? Goodness,
you're not making the noises that John made when he told him he'd won. He was much more enthusiastic.
I think when you battle, so you said you have. Oh, I don't know. You have to use your
energy to go to an abandoned casino. Do it. Sending zombies. Do it again.
It definitely has cards in it, doesn't it? So
that's not. It doesn't make it a card game.
Okay, all right. At least
no, and not in the same sense like a Pokemon or whatever it is.
Anyway, you can talk about it next week.
All right. I'm just kidding.
What are you been up to?
Do it. Go on, Keith.
I've not played anything this week.
Oh.
I've been too busy.
It's a climax, isn't it?
I was going to play something, but then I fell asleep, so I didn't.
I found an undead cockerel. Do it.
I don't just mean fall asleep in general. I was going to play something on the train, but I was too tired, so I fell asleep instead.
Yeah. Out of energy. Would you like to eat a brain to restore 100 points of energy?
It's a good name, though, isn't it? Zombie Jumbie. I like the name.
You think so? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's sellable, that.
Anything with
zombie cells, and if you put the zombie, it almost makes it sound like you've kind of kiddified, cutied it. So it's kind of like.
I have to say, the artwork's really nice. Like the character artwork's really, I think it's really. Mm. Cool. I have no idea. I got an undead
polar bear.
He's enjoying it, isn't he?
Oh, I like the fact that I got an undead polar bear.
Yeah, but everything's undead.
No, but you don't normally see an undead polar bear.
Usually dead or alive, aren't they, polar bears?
Yeah. They're never undead. By a trap. Yes, this isn't a card game. It's a game of cards.
Okay. It's so pedantic. Mm.
It's like calling Game of Thrones a throne game.
It's like when I sent you all those...
What?
I'm going to have to edit that out. That moves past the warning symbol on the ice.
I discovered last week we're not allowed to swear, and then I suddenly thought, oh Christ, I can't swear.
Well, you see, the fact that you didn't even realise you weren't swearing in the previous episodes just says how useless swearing in a podcast is, Ian.
It's Christ. You have to edit out Christ. I'm assuming.
Take that, Touch Arcade.
They can't go a line without swearing, and we've gone a whole like sort of I don't know 2 years without swearing
because we're English and we drink tea and stuff. And
hello, welcome back from that large edit. We will be back next week, where we will be bringing you news of stuff that's been happening in the future. We hope you can join us. I've been Will Wilson. Have I thought enough time had passed so I could get that?
It's nothing to do with time. I'm just never going to say it. So,
all right, fine. That's Keith Andrew over there.
Unless you get me on a game show where I'm the host, where I might consider it. But, you know.
Do you want to host the podcast next week?
No, I don't. Oh. I can't do the waffling you do. You do it much better than me.
All right, fine.
You can waffle for bird's eye.
That is a high honour, I think. So, yes, John is over there.
What do I say? I don't know what to say there. I am. Goodbye.
Keith right? is over there.
Yep.
And I am saying goodbye. Bye.
There's been a lot of changes while I've been away, hasn't there? I'm completely lost. No idea what's going on. Really.